talking about me? I'ma talk about that. This is Candid Christian Combos Podcast.
Hey guys. Hey guys. Welcome back to another episode of Candid Christian Combos. The podcast. I missed all my cues, guys. I'm so sorry.
You did. Don't worry. Better luck next time. Maybe you'll do the intro in the next episode.
Oh, that's pressure, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm good. I actually have an icebreaker for you today. Okay. So, did you ever have a rap that you, like, memorized if somebody asked you to do a freestyle? I feel like you did.
A freestyle?
No, like a fake freestyle to make people think you were freestyling, but, like, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the rap? Let's spit some.
No, it was from my sinful days.
So there's not even a line that can be salvaged?
The whole rap, the trend that the rap was based on, was inappropriate.
Okay, so
in every bar.
Every bar.
Because it was like a template that, like, I can't even.
Did you?
I did, and it was very innocent on the contrary.
Okay.
I think it was from when I was like 9 or something. It was like, my name is Farah. I go to the Sahara in my Jaguar with my cousin Dara. It was so fast. But I was like 9.
I had one, actually.
Okay.
I remember that I had a younger, more innocent version. But it was more of a song than a rap. Anyway, it went like, my name is Minnie Mo, and I'm oh so fresh. Oh so fresh that you just have to be impressed. Oh so fresh that I make the boys scream. Mo Rewa, you are my teenage dream.
Okay, yeah, I felt like you had one, so I was like, what are you talking
First
about?
First of all, that beat was trash.
Whoa, I thought it was really good, actually.
No, it actually threw me off completely.
Okay, you prevailed, though.
The weapons were formed.
I hate that we still don't know what it is.
Formable.
For context.
Actions, but not prospering.
Okay, I don't know, but for context, in the last episode, which you should go and listen to if you haven't already, we were very confused about that verse, and we should have very much gone to verify, but it's okay.
No, but I think we know what it is.
I don't think we know what it is.
The weapons may be formed, but they will not prosper.
But
when it's formed or fashioned against
okay,
you shall prosper.
Because yes. We were saying and the other time, but I was like, that doesn't sound right. Okay.
No weapon formed or fashioned against you shall
prosper. Pop quiz, where's that from?
The Bible.
Ooh, good answer. Anyways, what are we talking about today, Mo?
I realized that I don't know your coming to faith story. So I thought, what better place to learn about it
than on the internet?
Christian Combos, the podcast.
Caught in 4K.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do this. If you could tell your coming to faith story in one sentence, what would it be?
That's a good question. Oh my gosh. Okay. Walking with my eyes closed, but the light shone forth before me or something like that. Like, I just feel like there was so much I have been oblivious to, so my eyes were closed, but God, the light had gone before me. So I think that is what my coming in the face story. What about you? How do you... Now that the question has been thrown back.
I have an answer.
Whatever, you rehearsed it. You have no evidence of that. My answer would be... leaves the 99 to chase the one. Or less the 99 to chase the one.
I'm actually very excited to hear your story today because I know you have a tattoo of that.
Yeah.
And to tat something on your body,
yeah,
it must mean the world.
It does, literally. So, yeah, he left the 99... to chase me.
And we're starting with me. I feel like I guess the end of the best last. I feel like my story isn't super like exciting.
Doesn't have to be.
Okay.
So expand. You said walking with your eyes closed. Like, that sounds very cryptic and like something that you dissect in a literature class.
Yeah, I am a poet, guys. I don't want to tell you. Okay, so I feel like my coming to faith story is kind of not murky, but not super clear cut, because we grew up in a Christian household. And I feel like sometimes when you do grow up in a Christian household, faith is a default almost. And there's also a bit of like syncretism going on where you're like in the world, but like you're also like, you also love God, quote unquote. And so
I just need to plug. I had an episode last two seasons ago called Lukewarmness, One Foot in the Kingdom, One Foot in the Streets.
Shameless plug.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
You're good. So yeah, I think for me, I always loved God, quote unquote. So there's no super clear cut day that I was like, yeah, this is the day. It was sort of a slow progression. Mm. It was like a slow burn, you know, which isn't always bad. I don't know when it, anyways. Yeah, I don't know how much detail you want me to get into right away, but
give me all the deets.
All the tea.
All the deets. Okay, so you grew up in a Christian home, and mm-hmm. you said it was a slow burn. There was no like time or moment that you can pinpoint as to when you were like, okay, I'm following Jesus now. Mm-hmm. How do I ask what I'm trying to ask? What was it like? What was the contrast between the life you lived mm-hmm. when you were just a Christian because I grew up Christian mm-hmm. and a Christian because I'm choosing to be Christian?
Okay, that is a very good question. And actually, to even before I answer your question, to call out...
You always do
this. I know, I'm always jumping around in conversations. It's just what I do. But I do... Your question is a good one. I just wanted to call out a bit of what I said before mm-hmm. about growing up in a Christian household. So I'm not, like, sparing the deeds from you guys.
You're spilling the tea.
I am, all of it. So it's so crazy growing up in a Christian household. So much so that I feel like I've given my life to Christ so many times because, like, I
know... How many times have you been baptized?
I've been baptized like twice.
Just no.
Yeah.
No, I think it's been like three or four.
Well, I remember Tusha, and again, it was mom. Like, I still don't know if I need to get baptized again now that I'm like fully in my faith, because mommy strongly encouraged. She didn't force. Mm. She strongly encouraged my baptism. I was frowning, you guys. Like, my first baptism in teenage church.
Was that on a beach?
No, that was Elevation Church.
So that means.
Those are the two that I don't know which other ones you're thinking.
No, you were also baptized at like that, was it
house? That was you, bro. Did I get baptized at these two? Okay, so I've been baptized three times. But the one I remember vividly was in front of everyone, as baptisms usually are. And I was so angry at my mom, I was frowning, I was like, oh my god, this is so embarrassing. So yeah, I don't know if that counts. They got baptized after and I was still very much lukewarm. But anyways, I've been baptized three times. That has to count for something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's basically some context for my life before. I think one of the biggest differences of my life before faith and after faith is the level of sacrifice mm. that has come with being in faith. And that's not to say it hasn't been a joyful life, but I think when you are a lukewarm Christian, when you're nominally Christian, you just grow up in a Christian household, similar to what you said last episode, it's like God is a cookie cutter God and I can do whatever I want. I just pray to him when I'm stressed and, you know, there wasn't really a real relationship. Mm-hmm. Whereas now I've had to give up so much, as the Bible talks about counting your cost, to pursue this relationship with Christ despite the adversity, you know what I mean? So, yeah, let me know if you want more details. You can prod wherever. but yeah, I actually do have a bit of a story, but you can ask your question.
Go ahead, tell your story.
Okay, so if we are going to tell my whole coming to faith story, I would say that after the whole, like, childhood, you know, what would you call it? Childhood default. There came a time, because I became Christian for realsies in 2021, I would say. And leading up to that, I feel like I, wait, 2021 was before COVID. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Sorry, after COVID.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess in COVID, oh my gosh, yes. In COVID, I had a whole, like, mental health thing in, like, the summer. And even then, I wasn't really, like, talking to God about it. But when I came to Toronto from Vancouver, God, like, told me to let go of somebody really important to me in my life. And that was, that marked a very pivotal part of my faith. Because there wasn't anything seemingly wrong with that relationship. And I don't even know what possessed me. I was like, okay, well, if God is going to be like, if God knows everything, like, who am I to argue with him? But for me to have that kind of foresight, even though I wasn't close to him, is a testament to the grace of God. Because if, like, imagine a stranger telling you, oh, like, imagine a stranger telling you to do anything, let alone let go of someone close to you. And so that was something that I really had to grapple with. So then a step after that, oh my gosh, one thing that God exposed to me was my pride. Because I think pride is also something that stops people. Like, it's a veil, right? So there was one time in the shower that I was singing Love Theory or something by Kirk Franklin. And it goes, how can this be? You love the most unlovable part of me. And then at the show, I was like, wait, what part of me is unlovable? Like, what are they talking about?
I remember the first time you told me this. I was like,
are you okay? Yeah, I definitely was blind. That's what I said, with my eyes closed. And so then God showed me. I was like, okay, God, show me, like, and then notice where I was like, okay, you want me to show you the parts of you that are quote-unquote unlovable? And he was showing me, and I was like, it's enough slices. Like, I remember that being a TikTok trend at the time. Like, that's enough slices. I was like, Holy Spirit, please, thank you, I've seen. But I didn't really see, even at that, but I didn't see, open my eyes more. So after that period, I obeyed God. That took a crazy amount of faith and boldness that only God could have given me. And I was like, whoa, okay. Oh, and at this time too, I had gone back home to Lagos, and I wasn't in school. Like, I wasn't in school in that period, like, for maybe a year. And I didn't have my closest friend. I was suffering seriously in our household, and I just felt like I had nothing. And that is when I found God. I don't even know what moment things switched. But no, actually, oh my gosh, this story is more interesting than I thought. Like, it's not a crazy thing, but
the plot thickens.
The plot thickens. So I was at the gym one day, and this guy walks up to me, and he's like, excuse me, are you familiar with the Ministry of Angels? I was like, I guess.
And this is a random person.
This is a random person. And then I'm like, okay. Anyways, he starts talking to me. Turns out he's like this prophet from Jos. And then we ended up like exchanging numbers. It wasn't on any weird but we ended up exchanging numbers. And he just ended up like talking to me about his prophetic journey, his own life, etc. And I think he was really pivotal in restoring my fear of the Lord. Because I think growing up in a Christian household, you become so familiar with God, at least who you think he is, that I'm just like, whoa, there's so much more that I didn't even realize. So I think with having nothing left, with seeing, oh my gosh, there is more, all of that together kind of made me draw closer to God. And it wasn't just a day and night thing, like, slowly but surely. And one thing, I'm gonna plug this community, Skin Needs.
Shout out to Skin Needs.
Skin Needs that year. Shout out to Demi. Like, was transformed my faith. I think that was the first time.
Was it Revival Hour?
Revival Hour, yeah. Like, I think that was like, what, 6 a.m. every morning for a couple of weeks I was going. Because, again, I had literally nothing else to do. And yeah, we'd had a fast together. I'd never done a fast in my life, I don't think. And I was like, whoa, the power of God is here. And yeah, that is basically my faith story. God was there when I didn't have anything. I knew he was always there, but it was God, not the God that I made.
That's so good. There's so many gems in what you've just shared. If you met someone who you were friends with before you came to Christ. Like, we've established you've always been Christian. And the person, like, you encountered each other today, and the person was kind of, like, shocked because they see a different you now.
Mm-hmm.
If that person wanted to know, like, what happened, what would your answer be?
I think my answer would be that Jesus gave me truth. Because I think there's two kind of prongs to this, for me at least, where the first one is the truth that, because I think another thing that, so the truth of satisfaction, I think, I don't know if, again, it's the veil that doesn't make everybody see this, but there's only so much the world can give you. Okay, you have all these boys. Okay, you have, like, you know, there's so many other things. But at one point or another, it's not enough. It's not enough to fill the big void that your soul has for God. So I think that would be it. Like, Jesus showed me my need for him. That's what I would tell them.
Mm.
Because we all have one. We all have these questions, you know. And the second prong is, I'm a super logical thinker, and I'm super thankful for education because I go to a Christian university. And there I feel like my faith has really been solidified. And one thing that I used to think back then, so I think even at this time, oh my days, there was so much else wrong. I think nobody was, like, I had no male attention at the time. I said, oh my gosh, everything was so wrong. I had no male attention. I was breaking out so bad. So I didn't even have my looks to rely on. I didn't have school validation to rely on. I didn't have male validation. And so at the point in my life when those things were affirming my identity, I'm like, whoa, who am I? And in the past, like, I used to be very hung up about what people thought about me. So if one person tells me, oh, I'm really pretty, and another person is like, yeah, she's pretty raz, and she's, like, whatever, I'm like, who do I believe? Like, where does this truth lie? Is it in this person? Is it in the sum of people versus, you know, the other sum of people that don't think I am? I'm like, nah, this is not sustainable. From a logical point of view, there has to be an objective truth about who I am.
Wow.
And I think that is the point where I was like, oh, Jesus makes so much sense. Because I think for me, maybe it's because I'm in light now, but it seems so obvious that, like, the world doesn't give you what you want. And I always say this, man's empty praise to what end? Okay, you have all the things that you've ever wanted, but at the end of the day, we're all going to die. Like, and God has given me the eternal perspective. And this is a perspective that I actually just developed recently in my faith, where it's, okay, yeah, you can do things on earth, but at the end of the day, these things are going to pass away. And the kingdom of God is what really matters, because that's forever.
Mm.
So that was a lot, but
it was all good.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have a short answer to tell. No, you know, there's life here, like, the world can only give you so much.
I need that on a t-shirt. I do. Okay. So you mentioned a couple of resources that helped you on your journey. One of them was SkinNeeds. Was there anything else that you found helped you kind of, like, go all in?
Yeah, there was actually this super, I've never heard of this group before, but this WhatsApp group for reading the Bible in a year, in a month or something. I think it was New Testament. So I did that with my mom and my dad, and that was great. So, like, I don't know, it's not even like I valued the word that much then, but just to be able to go through that, the word, the faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So even if I didn't really understand what I was reading and all that, I feel like that strengthened me in a way that I didn't even know how. What other resources? I think you were a good resource, my big sis. What else? Oh yeah, mommy too, because that's also a part of my faith story. Like, I'm like, why is this babe, like, so in love with Jesus? Me too, I have to see now, that type of thing. I've always been a podcast person, and I think I used to listen to First 15 podcast. But yeah, I think, wasn't there a book? Oh shoot, there was a book. know, you know me better than I know myself. It was The Gift of Being Yourself by David G. Benner.
It was The Gift of Imperfection, wasn't it?
No, The Gift of Being Yourself. Yes. It's a trilogy. I only read the middle book. Mm-hmm. But that was pretty cool, and that also had to do with the whole identity thing. Like, who am I when I don't have all these things that is propping up my identity? These things are going to pass. But thank you for reminding me. That's an amazing book, and I would recommend that book to everybody, actually. I don't know how I completely forgot about that.
Well, the Holy Spirit must have brought it up.
Yep, shout out to him.
Wow.
Yeah. Are you genuinely, like, shocked? Like, did you not know any of this?
I didn't know it in its entirety, no.
No?
No, so it's nice to hear it as, like, in chronological order. Okay, my last question for you. What would you say to your younger self? What piece of advice would you give to your younger self about what you've seen in the light? Like, where you're standing now, looking back at, let's say, 16-year-old Farah, with everything she was going through, her heartbreaks, her hurts, her dreams, her identity issues, like, what would you tell her?
That's gonna make me cry.
I think I would tell her that, in like one word, Jesus will hold you.
Oh.
Because I think there's so much that goes on in life. Not me about to cry on the internet. This is not me. Like, there's honestly so much that goes on in life. And I think, even, again, the more that I'm growing, the more I'm realizing there are things that I didn't even realize the depths of that were going around in my peripheral, but Jesus still held me. So in the things that I've known, he's held me. Like, I can come, like, you can go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm feeling really, like, this way about this kind of thing. He'll hold you. And he's holding you even from the things that you don't even know is going on around you. Because this world is dark, Moriwa. And I see that my walk is, quote unquote, boring, because it doesn't have any, like, you know, twists and turns. It's not super. But I think there's even glory in that, because I know I've been shielded from a lot of things. And, you know, again, that results in the maybe boringness or the boring nature. But at the same time, like, God has really, like, protected me. I don't know, but I'm thankful. And yeah, that's what I would tell her, because everything I think I've needed in this life, Jesus has been the answer for it. Like, I'm the things I'm most grateful for, my friends, my family. I didn't choose you guys. Like, the God somehow orchestrated my best friends in my life. And I think he's just shown me the fleeting nature of everything else. Like, what is male validation when I have the things that God gives me that I need? So, yeah, that's what I would tell her.
That is so wholesome.
Thanks. I'm happy you asked me this, because I've never really told anyone my story. Like, it's a thing in the church circle, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm now curious about you, Mo. What is... what? Like, how would you describe your coming to faith story in... You already said the one word.
One sentence.
But how would you contrast your life before and your life now?
Much... Well, like, unlike your story, there was a... Actually, I don't know if you said there wasn't a contrast with yours. I think you did say there was a contrast.
My contrast was very sharp. Like, to the point that I feel like people who knew me before I came to Christ wouldn't recognize me today. And, yeah, I think it was very jarring, like, contrast.
So was it a day that you just woke up? Because why is the contrast so jarring?
There wasn't... a day that I woke up. I think what I can remember, like, so obviously we grew up in the same house, so I also grew up Christian. And I went to mommy and daddy's church for a while, and then some point, okay, so a little bit about me. I have never been someone to just take things at face value. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm gonna ask you why. You tell me, and that was, like, too much to the, like, displeasure of my parents at times. tell me not to do something, okay, but why? If you can genuinely tell me why, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. Or I won't do it. Mm-hmm. But, like, I've never just been, like, a because I said so. Like, what does that even mean? So I think God has gifted me from even a young age with curiosity and inquisitiveness. So I would go to their church, and something just didn't sit right with me from that age. I was maybe 13, I can't remember. And so I told them, I'm not going to your church anymore. Oh. And if you know anything about Nigerian culture, that's, you don't do that.
But at the same time, my parents are pretty, like,
they are pretty chill. But it wasn't, I think it was also the fact that I didn't say, I'm not going and I'm going to stay at home. I said, I'm going to find my own church.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, you've always been such a spearheader.
I mean, that's the gift of being firstborn. Yeah. So that's actually how we found Elevation Church as a family. Because I was like, I don't know what your pastor is talking about. Like, I'm... It just feels like, I think I said once, like, I feel like there has to be more.
Mm.
Like, this just can't be all there is to this Christianity stuff. So I found Life Point.
How old were you, bro?
I was like 13.
Yeah, you went to Life Point when you were 13?
13 or like, no, 16.
That's wild. 16. Bro.
I was 16. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I would, like, take taxis or Ubers, or I can't remember what was the thing in Nigeria at the time, to my own church, and they would go to their own church on Sundays, and then they now found out that it was an Elevation Church part of Life Point, and that's how everybody started going to Elevation. Yeah.
Look at you, Mom!
So I went there, and I'd say that was the beginning of my, like, wanting to know God for myself. Mm. I was still very much living in sin, still very much lost and confused, and, like, desperate for love.
Mm.
I think if there was anything that I would say marked my life pre-Christ, I was desperate for love. And I didn't know it at the time, but I wanted to be seen. I wanted to be loved. I wanted to be valued. I wanted, like, I had a very large father wound in my heart. And I didn't know it because, like, we had a present father. Like, he was at home.
Mm.
So it didn't occur to me. I didn't also have language. Like, this wasn't a thing that people in my, like, generation or, like, my age group were talking about. So I didn't know what the issue was, but I knew that, like, I was always, like, in and out of relationships. I was, like, desperate for male validation. I was in toxic relationships. I kept betraying myself. If I could summarize it, I would betray myself. How? Just, like, by the choices I was making, by settling for people who didn't love me, for, like, letting people walk over me, for, like, I just kept betraying myself because I didn't love myself. I didn't value myself. And so there was one event I went for. It was the Color Conference by Hillsong, and that was in 2016. Yeah, I think it was 2016. Yeah. And I went, and, like, I had heard so many things about this conference and how people would go and their lives were changed. So I was like, okay, let's see what this is about. And so I went, and it was like a 3-day conference. The first 2 days, I was just like, I feel nothing. Like, what are y'all hyping this for?
That's how she goes sometimes.
And I was just so underwhelmed. And I was like, I had already concluded that, okay, I guess this stuff was just hype. And then the last day, there was a panel called Letter to My Younger Self.
Oh.
And someone read a letter to themselves, and they said the words, God says he's sorry. And I broke down. Like, I had never thought of the concept of God being sorry for anything. Or, like, God even... And she went into detail about how God saw you in that moment where... I can't remember the details of her life, but something about that, like, melted the ice, that what sculpture that my heart had become. And I was like, oh. So when, like, this happened to me, God was there. When this trauma happened, like, God was with me there. He never left me, and he still loves me. So I think that was when my eyes were, like, kind of opened. And, like I said, my heart was thawed. And that gave room for intimacy, opened the door. Because I say my coming to faith story is not that I found Jesus. It's that, like, I let Jesus find me. Because he was always chasing me down. Always, 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 like... Even as a child, like, I would have people... I remember once I was I couldn't have been more than 12. Somebody came up to me in a bank in Nigeria. And they were like, sorry. And they obviously apologized to my mom because I was a minor. They're like, I just need to ask, does your daughter know God? Because, like, I came into this bank and there was just, like, a light shining around her. Literally. And what did I know? I was 12. I was like, oh, this is so mad. What are you talking about?
Shout out to that man now, though.
Literally. Like, and I've had people, like, just prophesy things over me from even a young age. Even, like, I think from before I was born. Like, my mom, our mom and dad, like, had a prophecy about me. But I just couldn't reconcile with what people were saying about me with the life that I was living. And I never thought that there was more for me. I just thought, like, this is what it is.
What is it that you thought it was?
Like, the half-hearted or lesser loves that I had in my life. Whether it was, like, the boys I was dating. Or...
Why did you correct?
Because they were not men. Let's keep it a book. whether it was the guys I was dating or, like, I wanted to say the drugs I was doing, but, like, drugs, when I say drugs, I think of coke. I didn't reach there. But, like, alcohol is a drug. Weed is a drug. Like, and I did those things. Like, I was just so desperate to escape and to numb the pain that I was feeling. Mm. But when I let God in, it was still a journey from that point. But I think color conference, that moment where someone said, God is sorry, something just changed. Sorry, that was a very long answer.
No, that was good. And I think one thing that really stood out to me, this is giving an interview, but one thing that really stood out to me was the whole God said, I'm sorry thing. That is a very striking thing. And I think it's striking because it says something about our perception of God and how sometimes that can be the thing that needs to shift for us to see him. And it's him also that unveils our eyes, given or granted. But yeah, because if you see God as somebody who has his shoulders high, his right, whatever is supposed to happen, whatever happens is what was supposed to happen. Are you laughing because I always do this voice?
Yes.
But yeah, he is a God who's in it. Mm-hmm. And he's a God who sees. He's a God who came down to earth to die for us. Like, so it's really the right perspective because, yeah. And so I think I want to ask, were you satisfied in your, like, in the streets?
No. I was not. I lived a very promiscuous life because I was searching for something, but I didn't know what it was. Mm. So I just kept thinking, like, maybe if I sleep with one more person, maybe I'll find, like, the safety, the security, the love, the fulfillment that I'm looking for. And each bed I left me feeling more empty than the last, and I was just like, I'm getting further and further from my goal. I'm hating myself, I'm hating these people. Like, I was just living such a destructive lifestyle.
Did you hate yourself at the time or in hindsight? Like,
I think I have language in hindsight for what it was, but I think there was some form of self-hatred that was going on there, but I obviously didn't know. I wasn't satisfied. Like, there's not enough bottles, there's not enough weed. Like, you will always look for another high, another thing to numb yourself with, another thing to... We have this, like, do you remember the graphic you created of, like, when you try to fit a lesser love into a God-sized void?
Yeah.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to the Candid Instagram page and you'll see this graphic there. But yeah, I'd say that was what my life was characterized by, like, trying to fit all these smaller shapes into this God-sized void and nothing ever being enough.
That really just sums it up, man, because our hearts were created for God. And yeah, so do you think it's, I know this is going on a tangent, but I don't think it'll be a long one, but do you think it's possible for people to feel satisfied in, like, sin? Like, so, because there obviously is many unbelievers in the world, and do you think they're genuinely satisfied, or do you think there might be a veil, or, like...
I think there is satisfaction but I think it's temporary.
Jesus is the only lasting. I'm happy you got what I was getting at, because I was like, this could go many ways, but yeah.
Jesus is the only lasting satisfaction. He's the, like, the Bible says, he's the only water that when you drink of him, you'll never thirst again. And I think I was always thirsty. Like, I would taste and drink and be like, this is not enough. Like, I was posting more and, like, posting more and more nakedness, because I was like, okay, maybe this will get me the likes. Maybe this will get me the comments. Maybe this will get me the attention that I'm looking for. Just to add, I will say that sitting under the, like, baptism of God the Father was something that was very transformative for me, because I knew God, I knew Jesus. And I think this is common with a lot of Christians. Like, we know Jesus, like, because Jesus is human. Like, we know, we've heard of the Holy Spirit, especially if you grew up in charismatic circles, like, you know of the Holy Spirit. But God the Father, especially if you haven't had the best relationship with your earthly father, that relationship almost, like, starts off severed, because you have a direct comparison for what a father looks like. And so it takes an intentional awareness to not extrapolate from one relationship to the other. But for the longest time, that, even up until, I want to say 2020, like, that was the hardest part of being in relationship with God. I was like, I just don't understand how you can be a father and, like, these things are happening to me. Like, I just don't understand. And so I was still running, because until I received the Father's love deep in my heart, that void wasn't filled.
How did you receive the Father's love?
That's a good question. It was a lot of questions. It was a lot of just being honest about my disappointments, my resentment that I felt towards God, my frustrations. And I went to, like, several, like, inner healing ministries. So I went to, like, Esozo, and Esozo, I don't even know how, it's just inner healing. And they made me do an exercise where they were like, okay, so if you could, something along the lines of, if you could write a letter to God right now, or if Jesus was in the room with you, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, like, what would you want to say to each of them? And I think I was like, I spoke to God the Father and I was like, I'm so disappointed. I really feel like you neglected me. And, like, I broke down crying. But in coming to terms with these real emotions that I had, God was able to meet the need. Because God can't heal who you pretend to be. Word to SJR. Girl. He can only heal you where you are. And so I had to come and be honest and sit in the discomfort of it. And also go and examine, like, what do I understand a father to be? And then I had to go back to my earthly father and be like, in what ways did he let me down? Because this is coming from here. So after examining all those things, then God was able to show me how, yeah, your earthly father didn't do this for you, but here, here, and here is how I've exceedingly and abundantly, I've done more. Like, I've shown up for you. So that's it was funny. Like, a gradual, very, very gradual, like, I see it as like a prescription change. Like, my sight suddenly, well, over time became clearer and clearer until I was able to see God for who he was, as opposed to seeing him through the lens of my earthly father.
Yeah, you raised an important point about being honest with God. I think the biggest changes in life happen when you're honest. Because, like you said, God can't heal,
who you pretend to be.
Heal who you pretend to be. Yeah, like, writing letters, saying things that you think are, like, even, not blaspheme you, please, I'm not encouraging that here, but, like, things that you wouldn't think you could say to God, but God sees it anyways. So you might as well just let it out. And I actually, to the point where you were saying, Jesus is the only water that you drink that you'll never thirst again, that also reminded me of another scripture in the Bible that talks about how the peace I give you is a gift that the world can't give. And that's so true, because I think one thing that's marked, I guess that can speak for both of us, our new lives is peace. And, you know, you can have temporary peace in all these earthly things, but it's not, God's peace is unique, you know? But I have a very interesting question for you.
Okay.
Super candid. do you miss your old life at all? And if so, like, what aspects of it do you miss?
I can confidently say I don't.
Okay.
I don't. Everything that I had pales in comparison to what I have now.
So beautiful.
Yeah, and I think that's the testimony of my life, that, like, God picked me from the miry clay. Like, I was like in the pig's pen, like eating pig's food, and he was like, I have more for you. Like, I think you said something similar. Like, Jesus is everything. Like, he took me, and sometimes I struggle with remembering who I used to be and feeling unworthy, because I'm like, Jesus, like, I know you know where you found me. So who am I that, like, you should, who am I that I should be recording this podcast? Mm. Who am I that I should be talking to people about Jesus? And I have learned over time that that is a device of the enemy, because Jesus doesn't condemn. And he casts our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. Like, as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. So I had to, like, wash myself in that truth, because that, I would say, has been the biggest struggle of my coming to Christ, like, or being living in Christ. Like, it wasn't a struggle of coming. Like, the devil tried to like discourage me, like, oh, you that you've done X, Y, Z, like, why do you think that Jesus would want you? But that wasn't as hard, because I think once I came to Christ, like, that lie stopped working on me. And then his new tactic was, like, trying to keep me silent even as I was in Christ. So even till now, like, the devil will still, like, whisper things in my head, like, oh, don't forget, I remember that you did this. But it won't come to me as somebody speaking to me. It will just come as, like, reminders of the life that I used to live. And I wake up feeling heavy and discouraged. And I realize there's a thin-ish line between being grateful and then being, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, feeling unworthy. Because you can be like, oh, God, like, I know who I used to be. I'm so grateful for where you've brought me to and where you took me from, period, ended there. But then when you linger there, you're like, God, like, how can I receive this love that you've given me? Like, I know where you brought me from. So I think the difference is in accepting the love and moving on versus staying in that place. So to answer your question, no, I wouldn't want to go back. But the devil often does try to take me back in my mind. And I have to just remind myself that I'm a new creation. Like, old things have passed away. All things have become new.
You shut up there.
Literally, I'm like, God, piss off. It's so annoying. Get some new bars.
Yeah.
That
didn't quite fit there. What generation are you part of? Remind us again.
Why couldn't you just let that slide? Mwah.
Actually, it kind of went.
It does.
Mwah. No bars. Oh, sorry, Mo. Guys, she ate. I'm here to revoke my.
You're trolling?
Make sure I'm out.
Anyway.
You should have stood firmer. Like, why weren't you confident?
Because it was a vulnerable moment.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mo. I'm hugging my sister in case you can't see on whatever podcast stuff you're listening on.
New bars. I got more confident in, like, silencing him and being aware of the ways that he tries to attack me. So now when it happens, I'm just like, ugh, same tricks.
Yeah.
My brain froze for a moment. But yeah, same tricks. And I had to, sorry, I know you wanted to say something. Realizing that who I used to be and my story and where God has brought me to is what uniquely positions me to speak about certain things and talk to certain people, because the number of people who, I've always been very candid about my life pre-Christ, and I think you can testify to this. Like, I've been very transparent with you, because I'm a firm believer that if A, you don't have to learn from your own mistakes. Exactly. I feel like I drilled that into your head.
Yeah,
like,
I can actually get a tattoo on my head based on Marwa telling me that so many times. And I actually live my life by it.
Literally, I feel like that's part of, like, obviously the grace of God has saved you from so many things, but also the wisdom.
Guy, like, the number of things I have not experienced in this life that I'm so thankful for because of God's grace and for God putting you in my life.
Yeah, and I think that that came as a result of me owning my story, accepting I'm no longer this person, and believing that if someone else's life can be transformed by my testimony, then it would all have been worth it. Well, no, you know what I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't do it again. But, like, there's fruit that can still be born. Fruit can still come from what's in one lens could just look like a tragedy or like a written off story. Like, if my children don't have to experience what I did, if my sisters don't have to experience what I did, if a stranger listening to my podcast doesn't have to experience what I did because I'm able to share my faith and share my story, then, you know, beauty for ashes.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, like, what was I going to say? What was the last thing you just said about a stranger listening to the podcast and, like, if somebody doesn't have to go through what I did?
If somebody can learn from my story?
Why does this always happen to me? I just have so much going on in my head. I'm not sure, but I will say that to respond to something that you said was about the enemy's, like, attacks. And I found that the more how am I speaking for us? The more I've grown, the more I've found that he could use the same tricks if I stayed the same. But this life of Christ is continual renewing, because in the renewing, the old tricks don't work. So I think it also, like, there's something to be said for us before Christ, after coming to Christ, and then this journey, this race that we have ahead of us, because you, when you first came versus you now, are two completely different. Even though you still were a saved Christian, like, it's night and day. Same for me too. But yeah, if I remember what I was gonna say, I don't wanna bog us down with that.
Yeah.
But I will say, though, in my own experience from, like, my old life, I would not go back. Like, there's just some things. So those are two different questions. I wouldn't go back. But there are some things I admittedly miss.
Like what?
I miss drinking. Like,
we keeping up the way candid.
I will, no, because I feel like...
Like, you miss getting drunk?
Okay, yeah, I still do drink. I miss getting drunk. I feel like I wouldn't do it, but it was fun. And I can't deny that it was fun.
I think that level of honesty is admirable and it's needed. Because that was actually the whole premise of starting Candid Christian Convos. Like, growing up, I didn't see anybody being transparent about, like, what the realities of walking with God were, like, the sacrifices that they had to make. Yeah. Like I was saying, I felt like everybody I was hearing talk about God, it was almost as if they came out of the womb speaking in tongues. They were, like, a pope in Italy that, like, I couldn't relate to.
It's crazy.
Like, what do you know about my struggle? What do you know about, like, what I've been through, what I've given up? Like, if you're not telling me the parts of your story that make you human, what God saved you from, then, like, what do we have to talk about?
Yeah.
So I'm glad you said that.
I'm happy I said it too. And it's real. Again, that's why I've said this life has been a sacrifice. Because I wouldn't go back to where I was before, because God saved me from death. But I think where I am now is full of joy and all these things, but I still live in a flesh body. Like, I'm a soul, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. And I think my flesh still, especially since it wasn't like, I didn't come to the end, I didn't see Shege in that life. Like, thank God for his mercy. I don't want to see Shege nobody. But I think in that, like, going out, and I think slowly and surely, I'll finish my sentence, but slowly and surely, God has taken away the desire. Like, maybe if you asked me last year, let's go to a party, I'd be like, okay, maybe like 1 a year. But now I'm like, Farrah, what benefit is that going to be for you in the long run? Would it be fun? Yes, but in the grand scheme of your first love and like the goal that you're working towards, not really. So things like things that I have to deny myself of, I guess I miss because it's natural. Like even see, like the father wounds thing, I also used to really search for validation in people. My Instagram, my old Instagram was a big testament to that. I think we referenced one of my old pics. What was I going with that?
Validation.
Oh yes. So like I archived those. I can't even imagine myself posting that kind of thing now. But I think it's still a constant dying to self that you have to do. Constant like growing in God, because he's given me the desires of his heart. Because I remember even thinking to myself, if, like maybe early last year, I was like, surely, like as a Christian, I shouldn't just stop doing these things because they're wrong. I should do them because I have the life of Christ inside of me and I hate what he hates.
Mm.
And so that's also something I had to grow in my faith, in my walk, where it's not just, oh, I'm not doing it all because God doesn't want me to do it. But there's an inward changing of my heart that this thing doesn't sit right with me. I don't want to do it because this is not me. This thing and I are like repelling each other. And so that's something that I've had to walk in. There are many things that I used to want to do before that I'm just like, it's not me. But there's still a few like little things here and there, like, I can't lie, last December I was tempted to go back to Lagos. All these dirty December rocks. Thank God I couldn't go. But I don't think it's going to be the same story at the end of the year, because we are growing, we're evolving, we are... Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say something that has just escaped my mind.
Spirit of forgetfulness, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Stop talking, let me remember.
You spoke about drinking.
Things that I miss. Time to self.
Oh, one thing that I'm grateful for. Post-Christ? PC?
Sure.
Post-Christ? Is the uniformity of life. Like the... You used a word in the last episode. The like...
Alignment?
Alignment.
Congruent?
Congruence, not the incongruence. That I now walk in. Because I remember, Lord Jesus, there was one summer or Christmas or something, I was feeling convicted because, like I said in a previous podcast, I started Candid in 2018. So I was still very much in streets. Maybe like less so, but I still was misbehaving. Living a life less than the life that Jesus died for.
Yeah, that's a very diplomatic way to put it.
Yeah. And one of the people I was involved with, like, tried to hit me up. And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't do that anymore.
Period.
And they were like, huh? They just couldn't be.
Did they actually
like,
say that?
Yeah, they were like, huh? Okay. And, like, they were respectful and they didn't bother me again. But I remember feeling like, well, how can you be... Like, talking about Bible verses, again, like, Bible verses on a Candid Instagram page, but you're, like, sleeping around, or, like, sleeping with someone that's not your husband, even if it's not around, because people like to think that as long as it's my boyfriend, like, it doesn't count. Mm. But that was me, that I was sleeping with the person that I was with, and there was just an unease that I would constantly live with, because I would go to church on Sunday, raise my hands, sing How Great Thou Art, or whatever I was singing, and then go and continue sinning. But Jesus says, go and sin no more. So I just felt there was this constant tension, this constant like tug of war in me, like my flesh versus my spirit. It was like that, my like what I want to do, I don't do, and is that which I don't want to do that I do. And I was just like, I'm tired of this, man. Like, I just want to live a consistent life where what I say is aligned with what I do. And when people see me
on the streets, like in real life, they're not, I just have to clarify, because you don't want to catch me on the street. But where somebody, whoever sees me outside, can recognize the person they see on Instagram, like it's not like a...
It's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it's just easy.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that double-sidedness is exhausting. Yeah. So I'm just grateful that I get to live what I say. And obviously, it's by God's grace. I don't take any of the credit for it because I tried doing it in my own strength and I couldn't. But I think something happened when God helped me see myself the way he sees me. Then I started to value myself. And then I realized that, like, the way I was living was beneath me. Like, I deserve so much better than the life that I was giving myself. And that was, I think, there's a quote that really gave me a kick in the butt. It was like, nothing is going to change until you get tired of your own
ish. That is so real, though.
You will never change until you are tired of your... Because your parents can talk all they want. Your friends can talk all they want. But until you get tired of you, nothing's going to change. And that is like... That's pretty much what happened to me. I was just like, girl, get up. Do better. You know better. You should be doing better.
Yeah.
So, yeah. At that point, I was just like, okay, Jesus. 2016 was when I had, like, my whole revelation. But I would say, like... 2019 is when I was like, okay, I'm done with the foolishness. Like, I'm all in.
Hashtag all in.
Hashtag all in. Casting off the sin that so easily entangles. I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm done with all of this stuff. Yeah.
That was really good. And I think I was going to say something to what you said, but I can't remember. So I'm just going to add on to what I said before, which was about the sacrifice. I will say my thing, and I actually want to know about your sacrifice. But yeah, I feel like, honestly, the Christian life is not as exhilarating as life on the streets, because you have, like, all the stories of the life on the streets, and you have, like, the highs and, like, I guess really, really low lows. But I think life with Christ is, like, a nice streamline. It's a high, actually. It's not a low streamline. It's a high streamline. There's joy, there's peace, but I can't lie, I gotta be fighting that, like, I think this is what I was gonna say before, the validation thing, because my Instagram before, like, the whole validation, it's not just a one and done thing. So it's so much so that it's so painful, because I have this friend who's always reposting these things about how, like, his friend will be looking at something and or looking at a babe and be like, oh, she's so fine. Oh, but she loves church too much. And I'm just like, oh, I know that is me, God. And no, it's so funny because I was talking to this friend and I was asking him, like, because I don't know what it is, divine veiling. We've spoken about this in a previous episode. I don't know what it is, but I don't have the male validation that I used to have before, or the male attention even. But I was asking my friend, okay, so how come, like, none of your friends are looking for me? He was like, ah, they've asked me about you, but I told them that you love church. And I was like, dang. So again, that's another sacrifice I've had to make, because I'm not going out with deny Christ based on boy.
That's like, real.
It was never that serious. So yeah, it's been a sacrifice, but I love my life. I wouldn't trade it for the world, literally. My treasure is in heaven.
Come on.
And I know there's so many good things that are, like, you know, waiting for me as I grow and progress. I'm super excited for my, like, family. Like, you're a beacon of hope. Yeah. But yeah, what is one big sacrifice that you've had to make in your new life that you feel like has cost you? Because again, this life of Christ got to count cost.
I feel like biggest sacrifice right now is my time. That doesn't sound like as big of a deal, but okay, this is how I think about sacrifice and obedience. I feel like God builds up your tolerance for sacrifice. So, like, maybe earlier on, that was when I was just like, oh my God, this is such a big sacrifice. But as time has gone, as we've grown in relationship, in intimacy, it's other people looking at me that are like, oh, wow, you're really sacrificing that. And I'm like, really? Like, yeah. I just don't see it like that. Like,
God and I have, to the grace of God, this relationship now where he's like, okay, jump. I'm like, how high? Like, period. Yeah. Has come to that point. But what you said is real about, like, the Christian girl thing, because that was something I had to sacrifice. Like, when I started posting about Jesus on my story, if you see the way people unfollowed me,
guys,
all the men stopped commenting on my Instagram posts. I was just like, oh, okay, Jesus.
Guy, you really be everything, and that's the best thing. Oh, you said
it's fine. Yep. And I'm still doing okay.
Because I was just like, well, dang, that was fast.
Like, it was literally, like, maybe the first Bible verse I posted on my story. They were like, all right,
we lost one. Gotta head out.
I was, like, tempted. I was like, oh, should I stop doing this, like, so that I can still... But after there was that man next to us, I was like, well, we're here now.
Yeah, yeah, similar.
But yeah, so I mean, right now the biggest sacrifice is like my time, when I would rather like be sleeping. Like, this season of my life is already quite stretching, so to be doing other things in addition, whether it's like leading a connect group or doing this podcast, like showing up, is a sacrifice. That's but true. It's the fear of the Lord that has me like, okay, Jesus, if you're asking me to do it, I trust you'll give me the grace for it. But so it's less like sacrifice of what the world is offering. It's like what my flesh would rather be doing.
I think that's me too, because yeah, it's hard, but there's grace for it. Because similar to you, what was the thing you said before connect group that you had to do with the time?
Podcast.
I don't know, but yeah, a lot of even like, I guess, uncomfortable things to do, like even like evangelizing, like sharing your faith and things like that, is
your comforts.
Oh my gosh,
it's a sacrifice of your comfort.
Christianity
comfort.
You're lucky I didn't hear that, because you know I would have told you. But yeah, Christianity will cost you a comfort, but what's comfort when you have like Jesus is your comfort.
Jesus is your comfort.
But yeah, this was so good. I'm so... I don't know why we didn't do this sooner.
We did it when the Holy Spirit needed us to do it.
Yeah.
Do you want to pray?
Did I pray last time?
No. Yes, I did.
Yay. This is a high-pressure situation. I think you should pray, because you're the podcast host, and this is a very, like, important...
Okay, fine.
Are you going to do, like, a prayer? Or are you going to do, like, a... say after me, kind of.
No. Oh, I'm just doing a prayer.
Okay, sorry.
What, do you want us to collect offering as well?
Yeah, if you, I'm kidding, no, please.
Okay, let's pray. Father God, this prayer is for the one who has gone astray, who has gotten into all kinds of messes, who has turned their back on you, who is still settling for lesser loves when you are available, God, and you are chasing them down, you are knocking on the door of their hearts, God. I pray that this podcast would touch them in a deep place. I pray, Lord, that they would encounter your love through this podcast, that they would feel seen, known, and loved. God, I pray that they would stop running. I pray that they would let you wash your love over them, Jesus. God, I pray that you would show them that everything else pales in comparison to the love that you offer, that truly you are the living water, that when we drink of you, we never thirst again. So I pray that they would taste and see, even if just a drop, and that their lives would be transformed by the beholding of you, Jesus. I pray that they would encounter you in the deepest, darkest places of their hearts, where they think nobody knows. And I pray that you would touch them. Give them a touch of heaven, Jesus. May they feel seen by you. May they feel known. I pray that you would show them that their experiences are not unique to them in the best of ways, God, that like there is no sin that has come over anyone that is unique to them, but you have been in the ministry of saving and redeeming and loving people from the beginning of time. I thank you, God, for Jesus. I thank you for his redemptive love. I thank you for his love that washes us white as snow,
regardless of where we've been or what we've done, what we've said, who we've been with, God, I thank you that in Christ we have a future. In Christ we have a new beginning. So I pray for every heart, Lord, that is feeling condemned, feeling too far gone, feeling unworthy of your love, that I pray that you rebuke the lies of the enemy, Jesus. I pray that they would know that there is nothing that can separate them from the love of God. That, Jesus, I pray that they would know that there's nothing that they can do to make you love them any more or any less. Because while we were sinners, you died for us, Jesus. That is what your word says. You didn't wait for us to have our behavior in check or to get cleaned up and then died a conditional death. No, you died in advance, knowing that even if we never knew your name, even if we never gave our hearts to you, you chose to die for us. You chose to die for the one listening to this podcast, God. So I pray that they would have a fresh revelation of that love that drove you to the cross. I pray that they would find community, that they would find resources, that they would find a sign. Give them a sign. Let this be the sign, God, this episode, that it's time. And I pray against the lie that there is always tomorrow, God, because that's another thing the devil tries to make us think, that oh, when we're done having our fun, then we can come to Christ. But tomorrow isn't promised. And the Bible says that Jesus is going to come back like a thief in the night, and nobody knows the day nor the hour, God. So I pray for an urgency to come on the hearts of every single person listening to this episode who hasn't given their lives to you, who is still living one foot in the kingdom or one foot in the streets or both feet in the streets. God, I pray for an urgency and a hunger to just be all in for you. And I pray that you would show them, Lord, that in the deepest places where they are hungry and have an insatiable appetite, that you are the only one that can fill, you are the only one that can satisfy, you are the only one that can quench their thirst, God. So I pray that, God, I pray that they will just experience you, experience your love, experience your mercy, your grace. They are already experiencing it, God, but I pray that for an awareness of it. And I pray that their lives will be transformed, their communities will be transformed, their families will be transformed, their generations will be transformed because of their yes. And I pray that they know that there is nothing that they can sacrifice for you that you will not give them better of, God. In you, everything they need can be found in you, God. So I pray that they are aware of the ultimate sacrifice that you have paid, that overshadows everything else that we could ever want to bring to you as a sacrifice, Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your love. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
We love you, amen. Jesus. yeah, guys, this is your year to lock it in with Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, what are you waiting for?